There's something out there.
Call or text the team line at 970-242-1340.
I want a girl with a mind like a diamond. I want a girl.
8 o'clock, Rise and Shine Pile. Welcome in or welcome back to the Jim Davis Show. Practice squad, B team, or no, B team is Buckeye Boy and myself. Practice squad when I host. I don't think the caffeine set in yet. I got sent a meme from a friend of mine. This guy on TikTok, he said, people who drink Diet Coke in the morning, are you okay? Is everything okay at home? And I felt very personally slighted by that, but you know what? It's not untrue. I am a Diet Coke in the morning, or I prefer Coke Zero, but you know, you always get that, like, if you go to a restaurant and you ask the question, like, do you have Coke Zero? Even if you really want it, you feel like a snob. You feel like such an entitled, you know what?
Diet Coke!
Exactly. Exactly. Where the hell did you find that? What? Hit me with that one more time.
Hey, Coke!
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, that's funny. Thank you. Max today doing the sidecar. Call or text us 970-242-1340. As always, you know, we'll do food or drink questions here on this show because, you know, we all three of us, the main staples of this program are all big foodies. Diet Coke for the caffeinated beverage, you know, because everyone's all about their, you know, got to have their coffee. And that's fine. That works for you. And occasionally I will dabble if, like, it's, you know, if it's a crisis or if it's the only place open.
Isn't Davis a tea drinker?
Davis is a big tea drinker. But he was out at Colorado Craft Coffee and Beer House, who's the sponsor of Mav Day every Tuesday here on the team. And we're trying to do this, like, once a month deal where we'll go out to Colorado Craft Coffee and do, like, live Mav Day. And the crew at Colorado Craft Coffee over at 12th and Orchard, or not 12th and Orchard, 12th and North, in the old, not the Maverick bookstore, the textbook brokers used to be. They made him a coffee that he enjoyed so much that he had two, and he was bouncing off the walls. Loved it. He had two of them. It was so out of character. And you know, again, he's a tea drinker. He's a tea man. How very, you know, British of him. But he had the coffee from Colorado Craft Coffee and Beer House, and tell you what, he was all about it.
Like a spun up toddler right before bedtime, huh?
It's that feeling of, like, when you, like, charge your phone and it's at, like, 100% and you're just like full force. Here we go. Ready to go.
110% of Jim Davis.
Exactly. Woo! If you want 110% of Jim Davis, we have a podcast, the Jim Davis Show podcast, up at the website, theteam1340.com. And he also does the Davis and Beetle podcast with his former colleague, Curtis Biedelman. Davis and Beetle podcast, all that at our website, theteam1340.com. I got to always, whenever we mention the website, I always got to give you, Max, props and praise for all the work you do with website stuff and keeping that all organized and all the feeds and everything up to speed, theteam1340.com, with our webmaster extraordinaire.
Hey, thanks, partner.
Mr. Max.
That's nice of you.
It's 8:04, and do we have any texts that we need to get to this morning on the text line? 970-242-1340. If you got a thought you want to espouge, that wasn't a word, but you can share it. Avalanche, we'll talk, hopefully Avalanche with Jackson Wilson. I sent him a text, and I said, hey, don't know if you're coming in today. I don't know if they told you that I was hosting today. Because, you know, people can be shocked by my presence at times. They go, whoa, who's that guy? So I sent him a text and said, hey, I didn't know if you were planning on coming in or not. If you can, great. Love to have you. If not, don't worry about it. We'll figure something else out. But, you know, always got to be prepared. But so Jackson Wilson, hopefully, fingers crossed, join us later this hour to talk all things hockey at River City Sportplex and the Avalanche as well. One thing I want to ask him, if he is aware of the Brandon Duhaime and Marc-Andre Fleury prank war. You heard about this? So, former Minnesota Wild, now current member of the Avalanche, Brandon Duhaime. He and Marc-Andre Fleury, the goalie for the Minnesota Wild, have been in an on-standing back-and-forth sort of prank war when they were teammates in Minnesota. And you're thinking, okay, it's going to die down a little bit. But not so fast, my friend, because when the Avs went to Minnesota last night, Brandon Duhaime allegedly TP'd Marc-Andre Fleury's car. Now, the Avalanche and Wild will see each other one more time in Denver this Sunday. We'll have the game on the Team Sports Network at 7:30 Sunday. And if I'm Brandon Duhaime, I'm locking my car. I'm locking my house. I'm keeping away from the locker room as much as I can within reason. I'm staying as incognito as I possibly can to avoid the wrath, to avoid the retaliation, because you know it's coming. You know darn well it's coming. Just got a text, by the way, from Jackson. He's feeling under the weather, so he is going to sit this one out this week. And you know what, Jackson? I appreciate it because, quite frankly, not that any time's a good time to get sick, but I've got a vacation coming up soon. I've got a lot of work here in the lead up to that and in the lead up afterwards, right? So, like, it's that post-vacation, okay, I got to hit the ground running. Because after that, we'll only have a few weeks before JUCO. Got to start getting prepped for that. We're going to have, you know, all the rest of the CMU baseball season. We're going to have all the high school stuff. It's going to be busy. It's going to be a busy spring. I think there's sort of ebbs and flows here at the team. Because we always, you know, football season, we're always crazy busy with all the high school and CMU games. Then we have a little bit of a lull right before Christmas, right? There's kind of a down period. We have all the bowl games and all that stuff. And that's, you know, then we build it back up, pick it back up. I think probably close to like February. When you start thinking about, you know, Mesa basketball playoffs, tournament, and then we get into spring and we are rocketing with high school baseball, CMU baseball, JUCO, and then we all collectively take the summer off because we are just, you know, dead at that point. By the way, speaking of high school baseball, we'll have a high school baseball doubleheader, double feature, I guess, for you this coming Tuesday. Details at our website, theteam1340.com. It is time now to go around the NFL.
The latest on the Broncos and the league. It's Around the NFL on the Jim Davis Show.
I'm glad I got to do this show today in particular before the NFL draft with you, Max, because your team has the number one overall pick after trading with Chicago or with Carolina for the number one overall pick in this year's draft. And your team is more than likely going to draft Caleb Williams, who actually met with the Bears officially, I believe, either yesterday or the day before. And I've wanted to ask you this on air in a public forum on this station. Where are you with your beloved Bears potentially drafting Caleb Williams number one overall?
On the fence, firmly.
Firmly on the
right
fence?
Right in the middle.
Okay.
A little bit disappointed. Someone farted in my cereal. Like, but I'm still eating it. It's like, well, my face is, I don't know. I don't understand. I don't get it. I mean, we've documented this very well. This is a front office that was replaced just a few years ago by an owner who replaced them with the same names because she didn't want to learn new ones. So as far as football acumen goes, that's what we're dealing with right away. The generational talent like Caleb Williams gives you a kind of a no miss chance, if you will. And Ryan Day definitely needs this. So does Matt Eberflus, to cement their jobs over the next couple of years, because I think they were given a pass with the Justin Fields thing because no one kind of knew. And general NFL kind of knowledge and attitude towards Justin Fields was, is he may or may not kind of turn out. So you're not really losing that much with the Caleb Williams gamble that you take because of the thoughts around him, because people have crowned him the next Patrick Mahomes with his arm angles, his pocket vision, his ability to extend plays. I hope that happens, because the Bears had a chance to draft Patrick Mahomes way back when. Instead, they took Mitchell Trubisky. They passed on Deshaun Watson. Probably a good idea now in hindsight, I understand. I don't know how the massage parlor people feel about that in Chicago, but they probably dodged a bullet. What I am saying, though, is you could have taken the unknown product that Justin Fields was, and there was a lot of positives the last 2 years. 2 years ago, he was the number one rushing quarterback in the NFL. So you have that established. The dude can escape and extend plays. Last year, you saw his passing, a nice little uptick in his passing. A lot better decision-making, less interceptions, more touchdowns. He had some injuries which hurt him
right. A
lot. And that kind of, I think, was the final nail in the coffin of Justin Fields' time in Chicago because of the looming idea of what Caleb Williams is. So, yeah, I'm... like, why didn't we spend this? Why didn't we spend a draft on solid offensive and defensive line talent? But again, the NFL goes as the quarterback goes. And that's why, Jay Cutler made $116 million in the NFL. Old smoking Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler, who as a quarterback at the combine, talking draft, didn't have to bench, but did it anyway.
Right.
You don't have to bench as a quarterback, but he goes in there anyway because he's like, I'm Jay Cutler. I'm from Christmas, Indiana. I played at Vanderbilt. Watch this.
Did I ever tell you about my cousin and Jay Cutler?
Your cousin's name is Jay Cutler?
No, my cousin and Jay Cutler.
No.
So my cousin, Rachel, went to University of Kentucky, I believe. Oh, where did she go? She went to some SEC school, probably. And Vanderbilt was in town. And there was a rumor that Jay Cutler was going to be at some party. And so they're like, oh, we got to go to this party. And they show up, and Jay Cutler was kind of a, I guess, for lack of a better term, Delta Bravo.
He is not a nice person. He never was.
He's really not.
Do you remember his comments in Denver about John Elway?
Oh, yeah. Like, I remember.
I get it, Jay. You can throw a ball through like 6 or 7 pieces of drywall. I understand. Like, you got a cannon, all right? But you don't really get the optics whatsoever. He never got the optics.
No.
As a matter of fact, if you've ever watched Jay Cutler post-retirement, you know exactly why he never got the optics, because he didn't care. He didn't even care about being married to Kristen Cavallari, one of the finest women on the planet.
Right?
Yeah, he was on a reality television show, and nothing is better. That is so entertaining. You want entertainment, you get Jay Cutler. You get Jay Cutler post-retirement. Look up the smoking Jay Cutler memes across the internet. Have yourself a laugh.
That's great, right?
But if you want to talk seriousness about playing football, Jay Cutler's not your guy.
No.
I don't even know if Caleb Williams is our guy, because he seems to be in a completely different world when it comes to perception, when it comes to money, when it comes to being a team player.
I will say this. I'll counteract the whole team player thing, because I think there's been a lot of unfair. Well, let me back up. So first of all, caught Jim Rome, I think it was last week, and he talked about his conversation he had with somebody about Caleb Williams, mentioning the fingernails, mentioning the fact that he had the pink iPhone.
I don't care about that. I don't care that he has a Ferrari, a Huracan. I don't care.
Right.
Well, what I care about is you come in here and you do what you do. Yeah, man, that's the thing. It's like winning is the cure-all. Winning is the solvent.
Oh, 100%.
If you will. So you can have antics. You can be outlandish. You want to talk about, just some of the people like Dennis Rodman, who's done what he did and still won, but they get a pass. He's still welcome. The Worm is still welcome in Chicago because of the work he did in the 90s. You know, the late 90s. Mm-hmm. He is, all right? You know who's not welcome in Denver anymore, Tyler? Russell Wilson. Why? Because he went 2 years of the corniest cornball on you and didn't care about winning. Like, I appreciate Jay Cutler's attitude. He didn't care. I knew he didn't care. Like, he was the guy that throws the ball at the mascot to stop the clock, Varsity Blues style. That's Jay Cutler. He doesn't care. Russell Wilson pretended that he cared too much. And where did he leave you?
Not great.
Not great. You know, and now he's in Pittsburgh and he's doing the same thing to the Steelers fans. And it's a little funny. I mean, it's a little funny, but you know, that's just the funny part about the quarterback in the NFL. It's the end all be all. It's the pivot point. It is the crux, man. That's why they pay them this much money. That's why they're all after the next Patrick Mahomes. That's why Caleb Williams is getting the run he is right now. Because if you look at his last year, it wasn't that impressive. It really wasn't. Yeah, when he's playing, you know, subpar opponents, he throws for five. He throws for 450. You know, he does those magical plays. But when you put him against a quality opponent, that dropped off, those statistics.
No, it did.
That whole line dropped off. And, you know, the attitude about Lincoln Riley, about playing in the postseason, all of that, aren't real nice box checkers, right? We don't go, okay, good, he's got a team attitude. Boom, he wants to win. You know, second of all, I don't know that about Caleb Williams.
I think
all I know is he has done very well for himself in the NIL era. That's what I know.
And I agree with that. But I will say this. I think there is a little bit of unfair, and I'm going to try to say the quiet part without actually saying the quiet part out loud. I think there is a negative connotation surrounding Caleb Williams that, you know, the fingernails, the pink iPhone, the stuff about his personal life. I think people are trying to implicate or say something about Caleb Williams that we don't know is or is not true. Whether that's to tear him down in the hopes that maybe the Bears don't take him and their favorite team takes him, whether that's because they just don't like anything about him or anything about his personality, whether they disagree with the era of college football about NIL, whether they, you know, they think it's ruining the sport and they got to take it out on everybody else. There's just something, there's something about Caleb Williams. You know, Caleb Williams has probably as high a draft stock as you look at like Trevor Lawrence. When he came out of Clemson, it was, you can't miss. Can't miss this guy. He's number one. He's the best draft prospect in years. And not that he's doing bad in Jacksonville, but, you know, it's kind of been, and a lot of that was the fault of Urban Meyer for tanking his rookie year. Doug Peterson's got a lot of work to do in that respect, and it's hopefully going to work out, but with Trevor Lawrence, it was, you can't miss this guy. And everybody wanted, was clamoring for that first overall pick in the hopes of getting him. Is it a case of, you know, we're 3 years removed from that and you have Caleb Williams, whose draft stock is as high, if not, some would argue higher than Trevor Lawrence's, but they see what happened in Jacksonville and they go, ooh, we got to be careful. And so they're trying to kind of, and they're, whatever it is that they're responding to, is taking Caleb Williams down a few notches. I don't know. I just don't understand.
Well, you mentioned it.
Yeah.
You get it. I think you get it because you're saying it without saying it. People all around in the media, you know, the sports agents of the world, yeah, they're going to put that out there, good and bad, to affect the value of the pick because, you know, in the end, we're talking about a business here.
Mm-hmm.
Of course we are. So Caleb Williams is an asset, a commodity, and you talk about that poorly, you talk about that positively because that's just how the market goes, right? But, I mean, as a talent evaluator, I'm not paid any money to sit and tell you that this guy's going to be your quarterback. I don't think that Caleb Williams is that much different from a Justin Fields where he was 3 years ago. So this is for me, it's like, go get Joe Alt, you know, go get the big fella from Notre Dame, get your line shored up, and then protect Justin and let him see if he can't become like a dual threat quarterback that you want. That Lamar Jackson,
Jalen right? Hurts.
Absolutely. That's fantastic. He could be that. You don't know now, of course, because again, in the fast paced world of the NFL, you got to win. You got to win now. You only have one season. You don't have three, which is why Justin Fields is in Pittsburgh right now. You know, the Rome Odunze thing, that's a good idea because they're slated for the Washington wide receiver at, I believe, pick 8 or 9, of course. But, I mean, there's so much quarterback talent. There is every year. You get one guy like this, and I understand Caleb Williams might be a little different, but you do get this every year because of the hype machine that is the NFL quarterback. But, man, I get Patrick Holmes is who he is, but dude, the defense for the Kansas City Chiefs was the real reason they won this last year's Super Bowl. Like, Patrick Mahomes is good, he's consistent, and he did make plays. He's
making $500 million.
Yeah, but the reason that they're there at all is because of the defense, right? So you got to play the team game. You know, you pay the individual the money, but you can't forget about not playing the rest of the team game.
Yeah.
Right?
100%. 100%. Totally agree. Got a text from Drew. Morning, Drew. Draft is just the public picking these kids apart, and in this day and age, you know almost everything about them except their football abilities and game. It's all about money, Drew. I'll counter that by saying we wouldn't know anything about them at all if we didn't have some idea of their football playing abilities, but you're absolutely right. You know, we sort of unfairly, I think, take apart these 21, 22-year-old, you know, young men.
Wait a minute. These people are already getting paid millions of dollars.
Well, now
they're already being yoked with the responsibility of not only, you know, the program and the tradition of wherever they're at, like USC, but they're also the same burden now financially that they now they're being paid.
Well,
what's the point? Competitively, where are you at, Caleb Williams? You've already made money, right? You don't have to earn your spot and then get that $150 million contract. The Bears are probably going to break the record with the rookie quarterback contract they give to Caleb Williams without having any proof whatsoever.
This is a much longer conversation to be had about NIL broadly because I'll try to shore it up here as quick as I can. The issue with NIL, so for years and years and years, and there's a great John Oliver piece about it, if you want to go watch that. And there's other great, you know, think pieces and videos and essays about the problem with how you glorify the collegiate athlete on the field, on the court, you know, out on the diamond. You take the institution of collegiate athleticism and you say it's an amateur sport, but it's backed by billions of dollars in TV revenue, advertising. Coaches who are in many states public employees are making millions of dollars a year that could be going to school teachers, you know, people who work in county facilities, you know, whatever. And but so you have these million dollar head coaches, you have these multi-million dollar stadiums, you have these huge corporate backers and these billions of dollars in revenue all going to everybody except the players that are actually doing the thing that's making everybody else money. And, you know, comparisons to institutions that we've fought wars over, notwithstanding, the idea was to, hey, let's create a vessel, let's create a vehicle for players to market themselves and say, I am the best at what I do. I'm Travis Hunter, and as a great football player, I wouldn't be able to do it without support of blah, you know, this energy drink, this car dealership, whatever. I see your face. I see your, trust me, I know. Because the idea is that you want to give the players the opportunity to be able to market themselves. Because if they're not able to profit off of their own name, image, and likeness, despite the fact that what they're doing is making somebody millions of dollars, maybe not directly, but as part of a larger, you know, billion-dollar industry, and they're not getting any of it, then the idea is that you want to give them the opportunity to market themselves. The problem is, like with anything, greed kicks in. Corporations, backers, dollars flow in like, you know, like rivers, whatever. And now you have, now you got where we are right now, and not a lot of people like it.
Final point, because I see what you're saying. I believe you have a point when you talk about the athletes and their compensation. That makes sense. They're part of the product, part a large part of the product.
Right.
But I think what NIL's like real crux is, the real positioning statement is, you have eliminated the idea of what an amateur is. It's gone now. Because you can be in eighth grade and get NIL money. I read a story yesterday about Lane Kiffin's kid who's in eighth grade, who's already been looked at. And you've seen stories of basketball prospects, baseball prospects, all of these people. With NIL now, they're professional. These are 12-year-olds. Is there any other place in society where a 12-year-old is considered a professional? Because, like, let's say, like, let's just say, like, you know, we're going to do black and white here, all right? You're not paid as an amateur. You're paid as a professional, okay? Right? Can you agree with me there on that,
sure,
that point? So when you're paid, you're now a professional, right? So if you get paid for anything you do according to that, NIL is going to put you in the idea of, you know, in the professional realm. Do you consider somebody who is 12 years old a professional at anything? Like, they might be able to beat you on the basketball court. They might have a faster 40 time than you. But do you look at them and say, this is a professional athlete? Do you look at somebody? We don't even let people vote until they're 18, right? You can't buy certain things in this country until you're 21. You know, there are so many ideas, societal ideas that push down upon this that is like shaping and evolving before anybody can have any sort of foothold on it.
Right.
Right. So that's my argument. At what point in time does amateurism and professionalism come into play? Do we need it anymore? Does anybody care? Or does people just want the product? People just want the product?
It's part of a much longer, much larger conversation that we can't fit in a three-hour sports talk show with commercials. But it is an important conversation that needs to keep happening because again, it all gets back to the issue of greed. It all gets back to the issue of... Because if things had played out in a way that it was equitable, you know, if true amateurism didn't involve a multi-billion dollar NCAA, quote unquote, nonprofit that makes $4 billion a year in TV and ad revenue, and then, you know, everyone trying to compete for those dollars, right? It's why college football is weighted. I mean, it's why the Pac-12 died a violent and flaming death, because the opportunities to make more money elsewhere. And it's, you know, these institutions, they use that money ultimately for things like being a university, providing opportunities for others that maybe they didn't have elsewhere. So it's, you know, it's this, the money may have a stench to it, but, you know, the money's still green. The money's still green. And again, this is a longer conversation that we unfortunately don't have time for. We're not going to have Jackson Wilson in, but I think we'll talk a little bit of Avs. We'll talk some other stuff as well. We got a couple open segments here in this 8 o'clock hour. For right now, though, we need to figure out, where the hell's Tyler?
Where in the world is
Carmen Sandiego?
Where the hell is he?
Well, I can't find him.
He's on high forever.
I will find you.
It's Where in the World is Tyler Franson. It's your chance to win today with a case of beer from Fat Tire, New Belgium Brewery, and our good friends over at High Country Beverage. Couple things. Obviously, you got to be over the age of 21 because this is beer we're talking about here. And if you've won within the last 2 weeks, please sit it out. But otherwise, if you're over 21 and if you're not in the two-week window still, you can text in to 970-242-1340 to get a case of beer, Fat Tire, from our friends over at High Country Beverage, New Belgium Brewery. Fans have been airing their dirty laundry about this Major League ballpark since its construction in 1991. Why? The deck is too damn high. So after only 10 years of existence, it underwent major renovations, including getting 6,000 of its seats removed, making the concourse multi-tiered, and moving the fence to make the outfield less symmetrical. The contractor told the stadium, "You're going to like the way you look. I guarantee it." Where in the world is Tyler Franzen? First correct text on the text line 970-242-1340 gets Case of Fat Tire today. On the other side, no Jackson Wilson, but we'll still talk a little bit of Avs, and we'll talk some other stuff here as well. It's the Jim Davis Show, Practice Squad Edition on Colorado Sports Leader of the Team.
It's your morning sports and more. It's the Jim Davis Show on the Team.
Welcome back to the Jim Davis Show, Practice Squad Edition. I am indeed my own worst enemy. Can we forget about the things that I've said and done? No, we can't, because Max won't let me. But that's okay. We'll move past it. Well, maybe we will. Let's see. Do we have a winner? Well, we have correct answers. Max, because you got the answer in front of you, yes?
I sure do.
Okay. Do you, by chance, have our promo software thingamabobber open? Or could you, is it, you know what? Well, let's see. I got to make sure that the people who have entered in with correct answers have actual eligibility remaining. Okay. All right. Okay. We're good. So, after that stallingness, means that we have ourselves a winner.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
He's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
Kim correctly identifying guaranteed rate field. We actually mentioned it earlier at the top of the program with Chicago. You have the north side of all the Cubs fans and the Wrigley love and nostalgia, and then you have
Robert said it best on the text board. He really did. If you want to know what it feels like to be a Sox fan, you reread that text, Tyler, and that'll tell you everything you need to know.
Why don't you read it while I send the winner, Kim, our just standard information.
Robert popped in about 7:30. He said, "Good morning, team. The White Sox have fireworks. No love. The Sox built a new stadium. No love. The White Sox win the World Series in 05 with one of Paul Konerko's greatest, absolute greatest runs, you know, ever. That was a fun team to watch. You know, still no love. Ozzie Guillen says Wrigley Field's a dump. And yeah, it kind of is. It was falling apart just a few years ago. Chunks of the upper deck would fall down on the people in the lower deck and nobody would bat an eye." Right? Yes. "And in a way it is, as Robert says. So Ozzie spoke about the dimly lit narrow hallways amongst other things, yet the Cubs are more beloved than the Sox. Have a grand weekend, team." Thank you, Robert. That was beautiful, yes. Man. That's poetry.
That's pretty, from what you
I'd have to send that home. I'd send a letter to home on that guy.
The way you described it, yeah, that's pretty accurate. So, congratulations again to Robert, or Kim, sorry. Well, congrats, Robert, for texting in and for having respect of Max.
The perfect encapsulation of what it means to be a Chicago White Sox fan.
Exactly. As is custom when we have a contest here on our stations, any of our stations, not just the team, but like ours really truly because ours is the best. We have a never-ending contest that we do every month, so we refresh the prize. It's a big grand prize. And for this month, you have a chance to win a motorcycle from Motorcycle Accessories. It's a red Classic Street parallel twin engine 2017 CTX 700 DCT Honda motorcycle from Motorcycle Accessories with included boots, helmet, gloves, jacket, and pants. Total value of $7,500. And it can be yours on the Team Sports Network. Win any contest, come into the office, pick up your prize. Office hours Monday through Thursday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. You pick up the prize and you can enter the never-ending contest. and get yourself a motorcycle. Something real quick we didn't mention in around the NFL. Broncos have signed a new center. If you are familiar with his brother PJ, veteran center Sam Mustipher signing a one-year deal with the Broncos, replacing Lloyd Cushenberry III, who was, of course, on the free agent market and went to Baltimore, I believe.
And you were also mentioning to me, Tyler, that the Broncos are unveiling new unis?
April 22nd.
Is that right?
April 22nd.
Are they changing? Is it a massive change?
So that's a fantastic question, because they haven't really said much of anything in regards to what it's actually going to be.
Ooh.
Well, we know this. We know that
something needs to happen to wash that Russell Wilson aftertaste out of Broncos country's mouths.
It's funny you say that as I took a drink of water there. I don't know exactly. Because so in 1997, right before Broncos won their first Super Bowl, they underwent the big, big change. New logo, new uniforms. They went from the powder blue to more of like a navy blue. They made the orange a little bit different. It was kind of like a more like reddish orange, or kind of a more like fiery orange, rather than like just a bright, you know, like a highlighter orange, basically. New logo, the Cyber Bronco, right? They did away with the old school D, you know, and it was met with pretty horrible, you know, fans didn't like it, didn't agree with it. Elway hated it. And then what do they do but win the Super Bowl that year with the first year of the uniforms, and then win the Super Bowl again the next year? So time heals all wounds, and winning heals all wounds, sure. And then I think it was the first year that Manning was, maybe the second year, when the team announced that the orange jerseys were going to move from being the kind of alternate jerseys to now being the full-time home uniforms. And so the blues would become the alternative jerseys, the alternate look. And then they won the Super Bowl. Not that year, but like 2 years later with Peyton Manning as quarterback. But then you have this year. You don't know who your quarterback's going to be. Could be Jarrett Stidham. Could be Ben DiNucci. Could be Bo Nix. Could be Michael Penix Jr. Could be J.J. McCarthy. You don't know who it's going to be. So ownership after the Russell Wilson debacle, after all that, yeah, you're right. They need something. They need something to generate excitement about this team this year, because they know, and let's all be honest, Broncos country, team's probably going to suck this year. And now, are they going to suck for the right reasons? Are they going to suck because they went ahead and said, let's have Jarrett Stidham be our quarterback and we'll wait until Shedeur Sanders is available next year? Never mind that that's a bad look for Sean Payton, who probably is like, I don't want to be a part of this after this. Or are they going to suck because they have a rookie quarterback who's still getting acclimated to the NFL, but you see the hope and promise? But do you also see a rookie quarterback that can't do, you know, is it a case, like, there's, on the spectrum of, when you talk about rookie quarterback seasons, on the far end you have, like, Ryan Leaf, right? You can't think of a worse example, or a Jamarcus Russell. An example of a guy that is just rookie season, first year in the NFL, and it just bleh. Bryce Young is kind of in that territory a little bit. Then you have, all the way at the other end of the spectrum, a C.J. Stroud. Lights the NFL on fire, takes his team to the playoffs, has a lot of high hopes, aspirations, right? That, it on somewhere on the spectrum exists the rookie quarterback's first season in the NFL. And I hope about everything else kind of exists somewhere in the middle. Rookie quarterback comes in, maybe they don't start every game, but maybe they start a few games and you're like, oh, okay, I can see where they're going. Or, oh, yeah, that's, you know, they got some promise, but they clearly need to work on this, you know. You're not going to get them to be the ultra super duper great whatever Hall of Famer they could be in their very first year, but maybe they're not bad. That's what I would hope to see this year. If they do go the first round rookie quarterback route, I don't want them to take J.J. McCarthy. I'd be okay with Bo Nix. I think Bo Nix has even said that he kind of really he really responded well, liked Sean Payton. Wouldn't mind going to play for the Broncos, and I do want a guy that wants to play for my team. I got no problem with that. But I'm flying the flag of Michael Penix Jr., man. I've said it, I'll say it again. I think he's the most pro-ready quarterback in this NFL draft class. Injuries notwithstanding, I think he's the most pro-ready. Caleb Williams is Caleb Williams, generational talent. Jaden Daniels, a Heisman winner. I don't really know where the Drake May love comes from because I look at the history of North Carolina Tar Heels quarterbacks and I go, Mitch Trubisky. He's laughing. He has his mic turned off, but he's laughing over there. Because he knows. He knows the pain.
We just got done. Yeah, the quarterback, man. It's the quarterback. You know, but they're talking about Harrison Jr. being somebody who could be a talent like that. You know, I mean, it's about football, the ultimate team game. But for some odd reason, every time, every year, this time of year, we just get straight gonzo on everything that one person can do for your team. Right? Look at, like, you talk about C.J. Stroud. He just got Stephon Diggs. Like, talk about winning the offseason so far. The Houston Texans are now being billed as the best team in Texas. Maybe in the AFC, depending on how C.J. Stroud's sophomore year turns out.
Yeah, I had it on the rundown as a question to pose, and I think the answer is obvious. Who's the offseason winner or loser? The winner is the Texans.
So far, anyway.
The Stephon Diggs trading, you know, Stephon's 30. So he's going to be going on the north side, wrong side of 30 here pretty soon. But he's still got a lot of talent. I think he would find himself much, much more comfortable in a Houston situation.
I like what the Eagles did, too. Saquon came to camp looking tight. Saquon's apparently got like 15 pounds down. He looks even stronger and more gnarly than he did coming out of Penn State.
That's good, yeah.
Right? That's pretty fantastic. Pittsburgh, I'm interested in, because I think Justin Fields should be starting there.
They've made moves. Have they made the right moves? And I kind of agree with you. I think Fields could. He's definitely, look, they're going to have a quarterback competition. Now, as someone who lived through 2 years of
a washed Russell Wilson?
Oh, no, I wasn't even going to talk about that. 2 years of Paxton Lynch versus Trevor Siemian. I lived through 2 years of that. 2 years. That was the quarterback battle in camp. Every day it was something. I remember listening to The Fan in Denver. And they would, every day it was something. They'd do training camp reports and, oh, Paxton looked great and Trevor looked awful. Next day, Trevor looked great. Paxton looked awful. You know, it could not.
It's hard to make chicken salad out of you-know-what in the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
It is very hard.
Oh, yeah.
Which is why, once again, every year, we got some quarterback. We got a Baker Mayfield, like, making a little run, winning a Heisman, and all of a sudden becoming your number one pick.
Yeah.
And Baker's not a bad quarterback. He proved that. Was he what we thought he was or what we thought he was going to be?
The Bears are who we thought they were.
Ah, Dennis Green.
Let them off the hook.
Classic stuff. But are they? Are they always? Are they anytime? Yeah. Nobody, like Patrick Mahomes. What, 10th? 10th, 11th overall?
Right.
The only guy who knew was Andy Reid because that dude did his homework.
And then Patrick Mahomes had the benefit of sitting behind Alex Smith for a year. Made his first ever NFL start against the Broncos in the last week of the season.
Speaking of, the Chiefs could be the biggest loser this offseason because, A, there's stadium, woo, like a little bit back and forth.
Hold on to that thought because I think that's what we're going to talk about next because we got a little bit of an open segment next little bit here. Do need to take a break. When we come back on the other side, we'll talk more about something here on the Team Sports Network.
Cuckoo, loony, and crazy. The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Davis Show, a practice squad edition. This song always makes me think of the nights that I spent working G.J. Rocky's games for the now once again reelected mayor of Palisade, Greg Mikulaj, when he was my boss at G.J. Rocky's TV production crew. Camera three. I was always camera three down the third baseline. I had two responsibilities. Follow the player rounding second into third going to home. Get the left-handed pitcher or left-handed batter's front of the jersey so they could put his name on the scorebug. And the wide shot between first and home. Or the really big wide shot of the whole of Seplesio Field. That was my job. I got yelled at a lot. Because I didn't have a lot of experience doing camera work. I got better, eventually. Anyway, with that song always played at the end of games, and it always makes me think of those long nights working the baseball stadium. Welcome back to the Jim Davis Show, already in progress, practice squad edition with Max and Ryan today. So this conversation that we're having here just a little bit in the last few minutes here, winners and losers of the NFL offseason. And look, the NFL draft is going to reset those barometers real quick, because if your team has a great draft and maybe a not-so-great free agency, you know, it kind of cancels out. Teams that have great free agencies and great drafts are few and far between, but there are teams out there, plenty, that will have more than likely bad free agencies and really bad drafts. And that sets your franchise back years in some cases. For the Broncos, I think they know going into this new, going into this year, that a lot of their offseason success was going to be hinged on the draft, particularly with what they do with that 12th overall pick, because they are in this weird spot where it's like you're not really sure if the guy that you want is going to be available at 12, but you may not necessarily have the draft capital or the players currently on your roster to make moves in a potential trade to move up. And that's kind of I'm probably misusing this phrase, not a catch-22, but kind of a, you know, you're caught between a rock and a hard place at that point, because if you don't have the players on your team to make trades, to move up in the draft, and you're not sure the pick that you have already in place in the draft is good enough to get somebody that you want, you're kind of stuck in neutral, and I guess the hope above hope is that somebody above you takes a guy that allows somebody else to fall, right? There's always a domino effect. Or that somebody's stupid enough to trade up with you just on a one-to-one trade. 12th for 9th. Or, because then you've also got Minnesota in there. You're not sure what they're going to do with the pick before you. Do they take a quarterback? It's tough to say. Your team, I think, being the team that has the number one overall pick, and drafting Caleb Williams, I think a lot of people are going to say, oh, you guys had a great offseason because you took the best prospect. Okay. But that's not me saying that. I'm saying a lot of people in the media are going to be like, oh, the Bears can't miss pick number one overall and they took Caleb Williams. That's the best they could have done.
And everybody wants to be proven wrong. The dissenting fan, of course, wants to be brought back into the fold with success. Who doesn't?
Right.
Right? I feel like Cody in Montrose knows what he's talking about, because he's already defending Wilson for last year off the text board. Cody said it isn't fair to call Wilson washed. He had a pretty solid season last year statistically. And yeah, Cody, you're absolutely right. But that didn't mean he gelled with Sean Payton. That didn't mean he had the locker room.
He
that didn't mean he was able to maximize his talent and the talent around him.
The Sean Payton Russell Wilson relationship, I think, was doomed from the start. And Rio said it best the other day. He's like, why even hire Sean Payton in the first place if you're bringing him in to fix Russ, and he's like, I don't like Russ. I don't want him to be my quarterback. I don't want to fix him, then why entertain that notion in the first place? And with Harbaugh being, I think, the choice, you know, numero uno for a lot of fans or a lot of people last year, And now he's got the Chargers job after winning the national championship in Michigan. And
but this is classic NFL ownership. I mean, it's kind of almost cookie cutter across the league. Some people make different decisions, and there are some ownership that really do care and listen.
Right.
But they just throw money at problems. That's what they do. And the Broncos were a great example of it.
Because they had a lot of money.
Because if you know who Sean Payton is, Rio's absolutely right. You don't combine him with a 33-year-old... 34-year-old in a quasi-rebuild, right? No one called it that, but when you didn't have the quarterback to throw to Cortland Sutton, to throw to Jerry Jeudy, when you didn't have that, when right. you didn't have the repeat, when you had the blueprint from your last Super Bowl run, right, and those last two, you know, when you had that blueprint, and you can't get the pieces to perform to make the blueprint work, yeah, I mean, no matter how much money you throw at it,
right.
it's not going to work.
No.
It isn't. I mean, look at the Jets. Right? Let's give a 38-year-old quarterback $100 million. And, you know, this offseason, the Jets ownership has said they're keeping Zach Wilson. Unless somebody gives them a trade, a good enough trade.
Which they're not because he's not worth a good enough trade. And he's not worth the trouble in the locker room.
It's... You know, I mean, dollars and cents, baby. Dollars and cents.
Exactly.
And sometimes they don't spell sense, S-E-N-S-E.
No, they don't. All right. That's it for hour two. Hour three coming up next on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.